Welcome to Metal Waveform.
Hey, and welcome back to another regular episode of Metal Brain Fart, where we speaking nonsense and pretty much just this. I'm Daru Metal, and as usual, on the other side is my buddy Bru Thunderhead. We are doing some new setting of the recordings and whatnot, so probably we're gonna try to sound a little bit better. At least we are not gonna try to fix the perfect timing and whatever of the both of the fucking sound lines and whatever shit is called. And also we are not recording on the our normal time, but in totally fairness, when we are recording it all in schedule. So how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's all right. And if I can interject to all this housekeeping business, I would like to say that finally we have this. This is the sort of function I've been looking for from the start, really, because I actually tried to record. I remember when we started out this podcast, I tried to really get like all of the voices in one signal from the first episode, but I couldn't figure it out. And the thing was, I didn't have the proper sound card for it, and I didn't really have the money to buy a specifically good podcast one. So it's nice that you managed to. I don't know, do you have like a special podcast?
No, it's just this Behringer mixer that I bought a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay.
And it was like in total fairness, who reading the guides and whatever of these products? So I just throw the guide somewhere in, probably I throw it in the bin. And it was an accident just listening to something when I was, I think I was recording for my radio show. And you can see the line when you are speaking and when you are recording, you know, and then I saw when I played music, the lines start to move as well for the voice when you are recording. And I was like, probably it's going to happen. So, and this crossover episode that I done last week, it was recorded by this way. So, yeah, finally, we are not going to try to figure out exactly the same time and that's awesome. And
yeah, that is pretty cool. And by the way, I actually checked out the episode you did with Simon, and it was the thing is, you still did the I thought that you were just going to like talk shit for an hour, but no. You basically made like an episode in the structure, you know, you did a pick of the whatever. So I sort of feel like, you know, even if it is a crossover, I still see it as a somewhat official episode anyway. So
yep.
That was really, really cool episode, by the way. It was,
no, thanks.
It's finally nice to be able to listen to your own podcast. Because otherwise, you know, I maybe like listen to see how the
levels and whatever.
Yeah, and you know, to timing, rack up the the statistics, but yeah, it was a good episode, man. So
you know what a fat guy like me likes, except metal, beer, and alcohol, and porn.
Did you say that you were a fed guy?
Yeah.
Do you work for the federal police? Or
no.
What are you talking about?
Because I'm like 100 kilos. I don't know what is in pounds and whatever. Like to eat. So if you hear me just chewing, just mind your own business.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to be slurping as well. So, but there was another thing I was going to get into. I don't know what it was regarding our show. I forgot. Maybe we'll get into it after after we've done some of the show proper, I guess.
Yeah. And one more thing now, since we're speaking some really important stuff. Between the middle of August and middle of September, I'm going to be in Bulgaria. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to record. So
I might be able to sort something out.
Yeah, so in that period, probably we're going to try to pre-record a couple of episodes, or Brugon put his Thunder Head episode, Thundering Jerking Alone, or whatever it was calling.
Yeah, I'll try to put something like that out, but it depends. I might have some other things in the works, so to speak, because I was a little bit inspired by this last episode. So maybe we'll have like an ordinary episode with someone else, but I'm not entirely sure. But I'll tell you when it's when everything is settled. So yeah.
But at least this time, I give you a heads up, listeners, just to know if the episode didn't show up, to be like, what the fuck they are doing? Why there is no episode for a couple of weeks and whatever.
Summer happened, basically. And for the 2 years we've been doing the show, you know, we always say that we're going to put out regular contents during the summer. And it always, exactly. I don't know what it is because, you know, I have a lot of time during the summer, but for some fucking reason, every summer it's like, you know, you can't do it this particular time and, you know, festivals and shows and whatever.
Yeah, and also I'm working and sometimes the schedule didn't match up.
Yeah.
For example, I have a very long schedule before I leave this week and it's going to be chaos, like working till 5, almost 6.
You're basically just going to make 2 weeks in one of work.
Pretty much.
Or maybe more.
Yeah, but
yeah, I feel you.
Let's go to our pick of the week, man.
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead. Do you want to start out or should I go?
You can go this time.
All right, and I must say that, you know, making Pick of the Weeks has always been hard for me from the start, but thanks to this YouTube channel, New Wave of True Heavy Metal Full Albums, as it's called, I've always been able to find some new interesting stuff, because I don't know what it is, but it seems like this year in particular, 2022, has been a year where a lot of shit, interesting shit, has been coming out.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of episodes ago, I talked about a band called White Tower from Greece. Yeah. And I'm back again on the on sort of the Greek scene, as it were, the heavy metal, speed metal scene. And this band is called Hail Steel from Athens. And they, this year, fairly recently, released an album called Raw, Rapid, Aggressive.
I think heard their names, but I'm not sure.
Maybe, I don't know if you did, but I mean, if you subscribe to the New Wave of True Heavy Metal channel on YouTube, you should have probably seen them, because the thing was, I didn't really find out about them myself. It was a friend of us, the Cardinal. He actually sent me a link to this album, and I saw it on my feed on YouTube, but I didn't bother to check it out because, you know, this channel puts out a lot of stuff. So usually
every day they put like at least two albums.
So the feed gets. And I have a bunch of other subscription and shit on my YouTube, so whatever. But he sent me this thing, and he was like, damn, this is fucking kick-ass. And, you know, usually I listen to his suggestions.
Not mine, right?
What?
You don't listen to my suggestions.
I actually did listen to what you sent me today. So
oh.
I do listen to your suggestions, I do, but...
All right.
I, But the problem is, you know, sometimes I forget to, you know, respond to it. But whatever, this Hailsteel band, it's some good speed metal, old school speed metal, I would say. It's not really, it reminds me of, I don't know, like a faster heavy metal, new wave of British heavy metal sound, kind of.
All right.
Because if I say old school speed metal, people would probably be thinking about Agent Steel or whatever, and it's not really like that, but...
Something like Rage?
Not really, but...
Okay.
Fuck, I always hate to try to describe it, but it is heavy speed metal, you know. There are heavy metal things in it, and it's fast as fuck. And I noticed that they've only released this album on cassette. And the thing that they've done, they've actually gone with the C60 cassettes. So you have, like, the entire album on both sides. So when you finish the album on side A, you get the entire thing on side B as well.
Yeah, but nowadays, if the album is not so long,
it's only 28 minutes.
Yeah, if most of the band, for example, do that. I remember I have a couple of like this. I think Eternal Evil demo was like that. They have like two songs, and then you change the site, and again the same song. So it's not. Oh man, I really need to listen. I really want to listen this song again, but I need to forward the whole B side. No, it's just flip it, and it's the same.
Oh fuck, that is true. Now that I think about it, like, okay, if you want to re-listen a song, you can just flip it over. That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, not too much is known about this band, Hailsteel. They're pretty new. But I would say that check their album out. They have it out on Spotify and Bandcamp. And as well as on YouTube, thanks to New Wave, which we have not done full albums. So, Raw, Rapid, Aggressive with Hailsteel. That's my pick of the week.
My pick of the week is chili cheese. It's awesome. No. joke aside, because I'm eating chili cheese balls and whatever.
I have also listened to chili cheese. Yeah. I think they're awesome.
Actually, my pick of the week is from Seattle. And no, it's not fucking grunge. Because I don't like grunge.
What?
Yeah.
Music from Seattle that isn't grunge.
Yeah.
Do tell me more.
It's a trash, man. It's Coven. But it's not this Coven like psychedelic rock or occult rock that is with a woman. It's Coven 666.9. So... Coven
66, I think
69.
They call themselves
66, 69. Yeah, something like this. Mm. But that's the name of the band. It's old school from 85. They split somewhere in time and came back around 2010. And now they are still active. I didn't know that. They released three albums. Blessed is the Black. That Walks Behind You and Boneless Christian. And my pick of the week is their first album from 86, Bless is the Black. It's awesome. It's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like this. It's almost...
Yeah, 38 minutes. I think Raining Blood is shorter, actually. I think it's in and around like 29 minutes.
Yeah, that's why I said like Raining Blood, but it's a little bit longer. And when I say like Raining Blood, I don't mean it's so fast and mean. It's the vocals, actually, it's a little bit cleaner. It's not like thrash. It's more like on the speed side. And it's awesome. Also, the cover is great, and since Bru here, he also can give some opinion.
Yeah, I listened to it, as a matter of fact. I put it on, when you sent me the link, I was actually buying a bike pump, because my my bike needs air, so you know the air, the bike tires. So
if you want bump it up, if you want bump it up.
Yeah. So when I got my way back to the apartment, I checked it out, and I was like, "Yeah, this is some. This kind of up my alley."
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. What? I'm hearing some feedback.
No.
Okay, it's gone now. I sorry. Yeah, it's sort of up my alley. I would say that it isn't really like it really is like you know,
more speedy.
A heavier, I would say, like more like a thrash metal band that's very much inspired by like heavy metal, like the old school wave.
Well, yeah, you know, all the band that came in the 80s was inspired by the heavy metal. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, but it's an interesting mix. And the funny thing is the album sort of starts out with, you know, the earlier songs. They're basically, they have sort of like this, you know, pretty like schmear adjacent vocals in a way, like the rah, rah, rah,
When he's
but towards
not on
the end of the album, they sort of go over to like a traditional heavy metal-ish sound.
Well, 66-69 is not so thrashy. It's like 6-6-69. It's not like Exodus, for example.
It's funny that you mention that particular song, by the way, because when I listened to it first time, 6-6-69, copulation with a horse, I heard. And I was like, what? What the fuck? And I had to check out the lyrics, and it copulation with a corpse. So I was like, okay. Okay. I didn't hear. I was like, copulation with a horse.
Come on, man. It's not a grindcore or a porno grind or whatever bullshit.
But then again, they're kind of onto that shit, because I mean, they have some goofy titles on this album, like Iron Dick, and my personal favorite, McDonald Land Massacre. I think this is like
Well,
probably one of the best McDonald's influenced songs I've heard in a long time.
The other one is it's not about McDonald's. Man, how we just put our content to fucking fast food? I just ordered fast food, and I told you I was waiting for.
did you get those chili cheese from McDonald's?
No, it was from Max. We are not endorsed by them. But the best is like of this title is from Doctor Living Dead, Kerry Burger King.
Do they have a song called that?
I didn't know. I think it's from their first album. Let me check.
Oh man. Well, that's the thing. I haven't really checked out their albums. Back in the time when I heard about them, they only like released demos. We talked about this in an earlier episode.
Yeah,
I think like.
But I think it's from their first album.
But getting back to Blessed is the Black, I think it's very interesting because there is thrash in this, but I think there's a lot of heavy metal in it as well. It's a very interesting, you know, combination between two genres.
And in total fairness, I need to check their other two albums because I have only this. I know only this album, and I have it on the vinyl. And I don't remember what happened. It was like 2 days ago. I was like, what should I listen? Oh, Coven, I didn't listen for ages. And because I went to the to take a shower, and when I'm in the shower, I don't want to deal with a flipping vinyl, so I just check it on the YouTube. And that's how I was like, yep, that's my pick of the week. Just a second. I done a little, probably it's gonna sound strange when we spoke about previous 5 seconds, because I just stopped the recording by accident, so that's why it's like cut it.
Yeah, well, do you want me to edit it?
No, it's okay, man. It's okay.
I mean, as long as you can handle it. I mean, for me, it's not really a big problem to do.
I mean, just the audience to not be surprised. Hey, it sounds like it. Yeah, it was good.
So let's get into our subject of the week, I guess.
Okay, Thrashing the Wall. It's from their demo from 2008.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this is now going directly to our topic.
Okay.
Do you have open Encyclopedia Metallium?
Always.
Do you go on leaving that page and go on their demo from 2008 and check the...
That's a good one.
And check the artwork.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. But here's the funny thing. I pressed on like a enlarge image and it's only like... put like the same sized image.
You get the deal, man. I mean,
They are recreating No Prayer for the Dying with Iron Maiden, but with a
alien,
something that looks like a big headed alien and Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess if you read the Judge Dredd comics, no. it makes sense. I guess maybe.
Never read it.
No, I haven't read it either. I mean, maybe that green guy is sort of like a character from the...
The only comics that I read, it was some Bulgarian one and the famous Mickey Mouse. That's it.
Yeah, I haven't read too much comics either. Aside from like manga books, but... I mean, I guess they're comics as well. But okay, here we have Kerry Burger King.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about album covers.
How
good and bad. Or
how important is in some of our favorite covers. And that's why I was like, dude, just open and see the cover artwork.
That is true. But yeah, how important is a cover to an album? I mean, it... somewhat depends, because I think my philosophy, at least, and I think this is a very
I disturb you. When I say covers, I can also throw bonus also artwork for the t-shirt and something really cool, because I have a story about that. That's why.
Yeah, well, sure. Since you interjected, go ahead and talk.
That's how I start to listen metal at all, because I have a neighbor that was like two houses from me, and he always have this cool t-shirt of Iron Maiden. By the way, Iron Maiden up till I'm out of life, and that they have amazing artwork. But he was like wearing some of the 80s album, not the Number of the Beast, but probably Somewhere in Time, Two Minutes to Midnight, because the single have own artwork and whatever. And I was like, man, that's cool. And in the beginning, I started like fashion. I listened to Maiden, but I know just the Number of the Beast and whatever shit. And then I started little by little to listen. The artwork of Manowar, I think, even before I said, my cousin gave me a couple, like 30 cassette. Yeah, tape cassette. I'm so old. So I listened for like probably 2-3 months, just Injustice for All and Ride the Lightning. It was tall bootleg cassette. It was like TDK C60 with the pen right in the name of the songs. However,
yeah. So there was no like cover art.
Yeah. But especially the Metallica doesn't have. But he also have some original, like Manowar, Triumph of Steel. And I was like 2 weeks before I returned the cassette, I was like, let's check this out. Oh, have a boobies. And after that, I checked this and I was like, man, that's amazing how they do that. And since you're like 8-year-old kid back in the 90s and listening to Cannibal Corpse and all that gore covers like he gave it to me. He gave to me a tomb of mutilation and eaten back to life.
Oh man!
In the beginning, I was surprised. Even it's a human. I was thinking actually it was a zombie. So, but
Eaten back to life is at least it's a goofy cover. I like that one.
Yeah, but tomb of mutilation was
tomb of the mutilated. Yeah, that's awful.
It's a gory one.
But by that point, they were just going all about, you know, offending people.
Yeah.
So I do remember. Was it like
is it Tomb of Mutilated or something else? Yeah.
I think Butcher at Birth is worst actually, because funnily enough, I actually used to own a Butcher at Birth T-shirt. Wow. And I actually wore it to school a couple of times because I was like 13, 14, I guess. Yeah. And I remember that I told the story before, but I had to stay after class one time.
Yeah.
And I mean, true for the matter, I don't know. When I look at it today, I'm like, I wouldn't wear this on my shirt.
I definitely go and wear a Tomb of Mutilated. Man, I need to listen a little bit more Cannibal Corpse nowadays. I forget how good that band is, but definitely.
Especially like the Chris Barnes stuff, you know, the early stuff is very good.
I really enjoy also Corpse Grinder, but it's like with Maiden, you have two or three different type of vocals, and but still the music is brutal.
But here's the thing though, the best music was written when Chris Barnes was in the band. But the thing is, I think Corpse Grinder isn't fantastic vocalist and a, you know, personality on stage, but you know, during his age of the band, I don't think they haven't really produced anything interesting, at least not for me anyway. But
well, definitely not the last album. It was good. No, it was a solid album, but I think which one was Torture, no, Red Before Black have some good songs, and Gallery of Suicide.
I'm not too huge of a fan of the era, but I really do like to see like Corpse Grinder perform the old school songs because it does that splendidly. But yeah, their covers are, I think there are people that probably are more fans of the covers than the actual music, which is
I don't know how it's in Sweden, but in Bulgaria probably you start first to enjoy metal by watching the t-shirts or album covers, and then you start to listen a little bit here and there. Probably nowadays everyone knows Master of Puppets not because of the artwork, but because of the Stranger Things. And the same was Stranger Things was with Tank in season 3.
Yeah, I mean, you can check out, they actually did like an official, I don't know the name of that particular character who is a metalhead, but they made like a
Eddie Malmsteen, I think.
Yeah, whatever, I don't know. But they made like a playlist of his favorite songs, and I actually checked it out a couple of days ago, and there was like a bunch of cool songs. I mean, it wasn't only like the basic bitch shit, like, you know, Master Puppets and whatever, but it was like you mentioned, it was some Tank, and it was like, I mean, pretty much everything from that particular era. So I mean, I guess you know, like I mentioned last time, you know, my nephew who is like 9 years old, you know, he might become like a new wave of true heavy metal headbanger in the future, I don't know, because of this show. I mean, it could happen. It definitely will happen to a lot of people.
Yeah. And, but also they're legit in Stranger Things. First of all, Master of Puppet was played right. It wasn't just down picking. And after I didn't saw season 4 because I need to rewatch first 3 seasons. But what I hear, because he have a battle vest and the backpack actually The backpatch actually is directly from Ronnie James Dio memorabilia, I think. When did you, or what was the name of Ronnie's life? Doesn't matter. They give it.
Oh, what was the name of Ronnie's live album? Oh shit!
Life, not life album. Wife. When did you? I think. However.
Yeah.
So.
I know. I thought you said like what's his name of his live album?
No, it's wife, like, wife. Whoa. So they are legit, and that's good. But unfortunately, with all that twisted reaction and whatever, it's going to pop up. So many people that didn't listen before metal. Okay, that's cool. But it's going to be like you have a battle vest from like 10, 15 years ago and going to say, hey, you are look like Eddie Malmsteen. Not Eddie Malmsteen, but whoever is the chart. And you're going to be like, what the fuck you are talking about?
Yeah. Exactly.
If you don't listen to a Stranger Thing, or the other reaction going to be, hey kid, I was Eddie Malmsteen or whatever, I'm going to say Malmsteen, fuck it. Eddie Malmsteen before Eddie Malmsteen was born.
Yeah, I'm actually going to search this up because we're talking about it. That's fucking interesting. If you search like Stranger Things on Spotify, yeah. You know, I mean, immediately, the first thing that comes up is like Kate Bush, because her Running Up That Hill song, that was basically, that is like where most of the people seems to be stuck on, you know, that particular song. But I mean, there's a bunch of like, you know, for the metal stuff as well. Eddie Munson is his
Munson.
Name.
Munson, I was yeah. Nearby.
I think, was he introduced in the second season?
I think in season 3.
Was it season three? Because I remember, like, in season 2.
I don't remember. That's why I told you I need to rewatch.
When I stopped watching the show, it was on season 2. And I remember there was, like, this metalhead guy that moved in with, like, one of the new younger girls. And
I need to rewatch.
He was, like, a total asshole, but he was a metalhead.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, whatever. And maybe I should watch the fucking thing as well. I don't know.
And have a poster of Filthy Hound of Hades by Tank.
Yeah, could have been. But yeah, okay, the dude was named Eddie Munson.
Whatever. So, and again, the visual sometimes, like people say, package sell the product. So, when we was younger, because now we are old farts, especially me.
Yeah, you're the oldest, but not by much, by the way. I mean,
yeah, but we didn't have MP3 players and Spotify. We have the normal physical media like cassette, CD, or vinyl.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, it wasn't so easy to find the music and check it before. So, for example, you see, let's say, the Number of the Beast, such cool artwork, Satan, some devil, some beast, and you want just by seeing this art, you just wanted to put it on your Walkman and go around listening to this because the visuality was so brutal. When I say brutal, I mean I was like, what, 8 when I start to listen this.
Yeah, I was a bit later to the on the ball.
Yeah,
so to speak,
and nowadays is so different because you have MP3 player, you have Winamp. Winamp, probably I'm the only one who using Winamp nowadays, and also Spotify. That what you can see is basically like a postmark of the album cover. You can't appreciate this art, and.
Yes and no, I would say to that. But because, you know, you're talking about like, you know, for instance, iTunes or Spotify,
yeah.
Or there are album covers. That's the thing. So I would say that, you know.
Yeah, but you can't see the details, especially.
No. It's not a high quality cover, but at least there's a thumbnail that you can see. And I can say, like, I'm still, I don't know about you, if you're like this still, but I'm still the kind of guy that I used to go to like record stores, just browsing whatever was new. And then I would see like a really cool cover. I don't know what the music is. I haven't heard about the name or whatever, but I just saw a cool cover and I bought it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And sometimes you regret, or even not regret, but you was disappointed. Because, for example, Nazareth, they have basically heavy metal cover.
Mm.
Even
very cool covers.
even pushing through thrash and death, some of them. And you're going, oh, that's awesome heavy metal. Put it on the cassette and love hurts, love bites. Oh, what the fuck, man? That was a waste of money.
I mean,
the other one was Meatloaf.
Oh yeah, Meatloaf is basically the like the biggest proprietor of like wrong, or how should I say, sort of like false advertisement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at the cover, sort of like, you know, the Bat Out of Hell covers, you know, there's been like four or five of them, I don't know. But all of them are fucking awesome. They look like, basically like heavy speed, I don't know, something really cool. But when you listen to it, it's just fucking piano music,
rock and roll,
guitar
yeah.
solos. It's like, what the fuck is this?
It's not hard rock, it's rock and roll.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, you at least, I mean, expect it to be like at
heavy
least
metal.
Some heaviness, but no, they're playing like fucking blues riffs.
Yeah,
because
I don't remember the cover of Meatloaf. I mean, I have it visually in my mind, but I don't, if you want to kill me, I don't remember the name of the album. But the cover actually really remind me of Warhead from Belgium. You can check it on your... it's a speed metal, old school speed metal, but so much remind me of this cover. Or Grim Reaper, I don't remember the album as well. I think the third one.
Depends on which cover you're talking about. Are you talking
with
about
a motorcycle.
Are you talking about the album Speedway?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is... there's an influence, definitely, to that. This is a really cool cover. I haven't heard Warhead before, but now when I see this cover, I'm kind of curious.
Well, definitely it's not Meatloaf.
No, well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, because when you see, like, the Meatloaf cover, you know, with the bike, with whatever, the
yeah.
flames and shit, you sort of expect something akin to that, right?
Or at least the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean... the thing is that I don't want to shit on Meatloaf. There are probably people
out
there that
I
love
mean,
it.
I mean, it's a good. It's the Meatloaf is a good, but just not our style.
It doesn't mix.
Yeah,
and that is the thing I want to get into. It's like album covers because sometimes it can be true for metal as well that there are like awesome metal albums that have like very lackluster covers
and
that doesn't make it justice.
And when I speak about Grim Reaper, I was thinking about Fear No Evil. It's again like with a motorcycle.
Yeah, and that matches the music, I would say.
Yeah,
mean, okay.
That's why you were expecting something like this from Meatloaf, but was so way off. Same with Nazareth.
Nazareth doesn't really... I'm not really too deep into Nazareth, but they are mostly like a hard rock.
Yeah, it's a hard rock, man. But again, the artwork doesn't match the music.
And one band in particular, which is true for, is sort of like Scorpions. And the funny thing, my dad, he used to be a huge Scorpion fan from the late 70s until like the mid 80s. Because he thought that they started to suck. And
come over here!
The funny thing with Scorpions, though, is that they are a very, very excellent band in many ways. I think they have too many ballads and whatever, but, I mean, that's a taste thing. But one thing that is very certain, that I'm very certain about Scorpions, is that their album covers are fucking awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single one, basically. I mean, that is just... I mean, that is something they've decided now, that, okay, we can't have something that looks nice. We're just going to go with fucking ugly shit, and that's what they've done. And and that's the thing, because I remember, like, growing up, going through my dad's vinyl collection.
Virgin
and every
Chihuahua
time
was, I think, was one of the worst.
Which one?
Virgin Cure.
Oh, yeah. That is fucking awful. That was the thing when I was a kid. I, you know, went through all these vinyl records and I saw the Virgin Kill. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And then you get kind of, you know, adventurous and you're like, okay, how does it sound? And it's basically like, yeah, it's heavy metal, sort of proto heavy, you know, hard rock. Not bad, but the cover is way worse.
No, I've never been a huge fan of Scorpions. Saw them once, 2010, on their farewell tour that extended to 2022. So, yeah.
One of those guys.
Yeah. Definitely they have some good song. I can't say they don't have. They have good songs, but although I'm not a huge fan of Scorpions. And I,
they have a couple of good songs, but I'm more of a fan of them historically, in a way. When I say historically, I mean that, you know, they've been so important to influence a lot of the shit that I listen to today.
Well, so, except in Scorpions, basically, it's the German version of Judas Priest and Iron Maiden.
Yeah, basically. Speaking about except.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to talk about some ugly ass covers, covers.
Yeah, but let's take a cigarette break and we're coming back.
Oh.
And we are back again after this short break. And before the break, I was mentioning that Accept has some interesting covers, I would say.
Yeah.
Particularly, I was thinking about their first album, which...
I don't know what's happened today with me. I cannot write one band name correctly.
Really? How did you try to write Accept?
A-C-C-E-P-E-T.
Oh, with an extra E. Otherwise, it was correct, but...
And before that, with Dr. Living Dead, I was pulling two or three E's, something like this. I don't know. First one, accept, by accept.
Yeah. And here's the thing I would say, though. I really like logotype.
Yeah.
Because it has sort of a...
Yeah, but to be honest, if you change the logo of accept with scorpions, it's going to make so much sense.
Exactly. That was exactly the point. This looks like, you know, one of those shitty Scorpions covers from the late 70s.
Well,
and that was kind of what they were going for.
And Accept is 79, so. The other one was, I think, was Breaker.
Is Breaker ugly? I would say, though, that I'm a Rebel.
Yeah, Breaker also is like Scorpion inspired.
Oh yeah, Breaker is. That's the thing, because I'm a Rebel is pretty cool because it has like that lion thing. I don't know what it is in their logo. It sort of looks like a lion or something.
Yeah,
you know, underneath. But you know,
it's very simple cover.
I'm a Rebel is, it's a sword. You know, a sword works. That's cool. Breaker, however, is like, it's a lady that has like barbed wire going through her ears.
Yeah, a little bit like, blackout. I think was from Scorpions. Yeah. Reminds me a little bit. Do you know
Breaker? However, is a very excellent. It's an excellent album.
Yeah,
But then again, if I went into like a record store as a kid and saw that cover, I would be like,
And also, Restless and Wild is a good one. I mean, it's simple, just two V's.
Restless and Wild is fucking fantastic.
And it's a very solid album.
Yeah, and it's probably, should I call it my favorite Accept album?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. It's my favorite Accept album. It's fucking amazing.
I don't know for my favorite Accept album. With Accept, I'm more like song guy, not album. Some really cool cover have... Savage Grace.
Oh, good one. But that's the thing. Is it a good cover or is it a good cover? Are you talking about like Master of Disguise? Or?
Just to figure out how to fucking spell the...
Are you having problems spelling Savage?
No, Grace.
G-R-A-T.
I don't, but again, like... I couldn't write it correctly. And to be honest, I have like, on the vinyl I have just After the Fall from Grace. And this year on Muscle Rock, on Yefla Metal, I went to the guy that I really hate. I mean, I hate records.
That motherfucker.
Yeah,
Peter, son of a bitch.
Peter, love you, but you always grab my money.
Fucking asshole.
Nah. And I was checking first the vinyls. I think I bought the Left Hand Path. And then I went to a CD section and I saw four albums of Savage Grace. Just second, third. I don't want to speak from my farts, just to check again.
Yeah, well, they have two albums and then they have two EPs. So that's basically four albums. So
I know that.
Their covers are, whoa.
But for example, Master of Disguise, doesn't you remind a little bit of Smell the Glove by Spinal Tap?
Yeah, what's wrong with being sexy? I mean...
Sexiest.
But yeah, I mean, it. I really love this cover. It is so stupid that... I'm just thinking, because a cover, you know, is sort of it's like an easy sell to people.
Yeah, and the Dominatrix, it's also... But, for example, when you look at the Dominatrix, it's from 83, they still have more rock and roll sound. It wasn't so much into a speed metal.
I have actually never heard that album,
yeah,
but I'm looking at the cover.
And the cover is totally screaming, that's a hard rock.
Or maybe glam, but glam wasn't a thing in 83 or...
It's just started, they started almost as the same with speed and thrash metal, and you know, but first Metallica is like 83. So yeah. I have Dominatrix plus demo from 82, so basically the demo and Dominatrix. Then I have Master of Disguise. Yeah, it's just the album. Then I have, After the Fall from Grace, the album, again on the CD, and I have it on the vinyl as well.
And I must say, that cover, After the Fall from Grace, I'm looking at it right now, and it fucking mystifies me. Because, not because of the woman who is about to be beheaded, but because of the person holding the axe, Are you looking at the cover?
Yeah.
Is, you know, underneath the arm, is that a huge ass sticking out of some pants? Or is it a very fat guy?
It's a very fat guy.
Are you sure?
Nah, just a second, because on the city I cannot see. Yeah, it is a fat guy. It is a fat guy. It's fat almost like me.
The thing is, the arm, though, it looks like someone who's... kind of in shape. It doesn't look like a fat guy arm by any means.
Yeah, because you need to have some muscles, but also you need to eat.
I mean, the longer I look at it, the more disturbing crazy it gets. Yeah, it's fucking. It's sort of like on the internet, it's like, you know, this accursed picture. The longer you look at it, the worse it gets.
But for me, it's more like the look of the woman that disturbs more.
Really, why is that?
I don't know. It's basically going to haunt you after when I die.
I mean, she's basically wearing like an old-time...
gown or whatever. Yeah. No, I speak about the look of the eyes.
That's pretty creepy, I guess. But I don't know. The fat on the man disturbs me more. That's the thing that's going to bring me nightmares, seeing like a guy like that.
And then I have the other EP, Right in the Night Plus demo from 83.
And is it the picture disc version you have of Right into the Night, or is it a different version?
No, it's a CD. It's a CD. I have.
Oh, okay.
I have After the Fall from Grace on the vinyl.
Because here's the thing, right? It was released like you have the CD version, but the original release was Right into the Night was a picture disc, and
I hate the picture disc. It's look like cool, but nah.
Then again, I don't think you would have hated this picture disc, but because
yeah, definitely,
I'm genuine tits on it.
Definitely, I'm going to put it as a quok. It's going to be a nice quok. But
what we Savage Grace, they're kind of crazy though, because you know when you look at the covers, they sort of look like an 80s hair metal band, but they were definitely not.
No, they're on the speed side, and I have the opportunity gladly to see them with Exhumer on 2010.
Holy fucking shit, I didn't know this. I'm sorry I'm interjecting, but Savage Grace, before they were known as Savage Grace, do you know what they called their band before?
Let's see. Randy Rhoads? No?
No, Marquis de Sade.
Yeah.
I mean, it works, you know, this whole sex thing that they're going with.
I don't remember in which... and it was a demo or some live. They even have a song that was dedicated to Mark Life. Is it Mark? Chris X Life. And I don't remember what, but again, was like some sexist name.
Yeah, well, I mean, Marquis de Sade, he wasn't a sexist. He was.
I mean, everyone know about that. But
I hope that people know about Marquis de Sade. But if you don't know, Google it.
Yeah, and also, Exos, man, Exos. They have some really great and some really shitty cover.
Yeah, sure. Let's. I'm not a huge fan of Exodus, but it's always fun to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, just watch Zetro Toxic Vaults. I mean, dude, do you know he's really into a candy?
Who?
Zetro.
Zetro. Yeah. He likes candy.
Yeah, man.
In what way, man?
Dude, today I was watching the morning show on the TV, you know, news and whatever bullshit, what's happening in Bulgaria and blah, blah, blah. And after it's finished, I was like, I'm going to listen some podcast. And I just check on the YouTube because Zetro have a couple of episodes that is on the podcast platform. And I check on the YouTube his channel, and there was an episode with Rob, I think, from Death Angel, and they just speak about 1 hour, most for the candy and some metal. And I mean, when they speak about candy, they really speak about candy, how to eat it, how to open it, and whatever shit.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah, man. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, are they doing like a serious metal podcast and then they just start talking about, you know, candy wrappings or whatever?
No, they was like a sort of, because it was actually from Rob, Life with Death Angel or whatever, he have this on YouTube. But Zetro published on his YouTube page, and that was on Zetro Toxic Vaults. And I was, because I watched a lot of his interviews and whatever, and basically how it started was like Rob, I think, was the name of guitarist. However, Ted, and he was like, we was on the tour, I think, in Germany, they said, something like this. We was in Germany on tour, and after that, we just grabbed a candy, and I saw Zetro was like, oh my God, candy, I really want some. And yeah, it's a funny one. I can send you a link about that.
Yeah, definitely do. But we were talking about Exodus.
Yeah. Right? For example, Bounded by Blood, and it's amazing cover. It's a legendary cover, man. To be honest, I still prefer.
I mean, you're not wrong. It is legendary, yeah. because the album is so fucking good. But
also, I to be honest, I prefer Pleasure of the Flesh, and I really enjoyed the the official one, not the original one, because it's supposed to came out as
as a cartoon. Okay, let us get clear here. What is the official one? Is the official one where they're sitting at a bar desk?
Wait, where is the unofficial? Is it? No,
I don't know. Maybe it's an edit, you know.
No, because Zetro have this segment on his podcast that he's talking about the recording of the albums and whatever. And the original one that supposed to came out was cartoon one, a picture disc from 1987.
Okay, I found it here. Yeah.
This one was the original one, and he say the company Combat Records denied this cover because it's too graphic and it's not gonna be well sold on some of the market, and even it's not gonna go, for example, on Ico or Coop, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
because they have Target and some other big store that have vinyls and whatever, and that's why they done this shooting. But again,
a lot of cool bands were doing that shit. Funnily enough, you know that they, you know, they had a cover in mind, but in the end, they just went with, you know, like a
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about like Metal Church in '89. When they released Blessing in Disguise, it was just a band photo. A lot of band, but I think that was more to do with the hair metal thing that was going on, because the only thing that hair metal bands did was, you know, put themselves on the cover, because that's what you did.
And also, I think the Human Factor was the band photo. Yeah, the Human Factor also was a band photo.
It seems to be like a thing of the time, I guess.
But speaking of Metal Church, one of the most ugly was Hanging in the Balance, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging of the Balance, it reminds me
what
about...
What the fuck?
It reminds me about Pantera when they was in their glam period.
Man, this was a real album cover.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this until you mentioned it, because I'm on the Metal Church page on Metal Archives. But this is awful.
It's reminding, like I told you, about power metal from Pantera.
Yeah, but that's a different kind of awful, though. It's
yeah, but I mean,
I have to recheck it then again
in the same style. And about Exodus, the ugliest one is their least favorite album, Force of Habit.
Which band? Sorry,
Exodus.
I really like this kind of episode, by the way. This is fucking just funny to like react to shit.
Yeah.
To Force of Habit. So this was okay.
And do you know how much they spent on this? $30,000.
You know, that doesn't surprise me at all, really. But did they pay like a modern artist to like,
it was some
I'm gonna check the additional notes.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was some famous artist, but I think it was a comic book artist, something like this. Today, actually, I listened again this episode that they explain about the Force of Habit and all that. On Exodus vote.
And the thing is, I don't know anything about Exodus. Is Force of Habit sort of like their version of, like, I don't know, Load or Reload? Or
pretty much, but again, it's a little bit more more metal than Risk or Vote and Reload.
Okay, so it's like those albums, but cooler.
Yeah, because after that you can see they just disbanded from basically that was their last official album till 2004 when Zethro returned with Temple of the Damned. That actually is supposed to be album for Paul Beowulf, but Paul
really?
But Paul Beowulf died before that, so that's why Exodus is on Temple. Like I said, if you want to check more the history of Exodus, watch Zethro Toxic Votes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, for me, I remember a lot of friends of mine back in the day told me that Bonded by Blood is the best record they've ever heard. I heard it once and I was like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and
basically.
And Temple of the Damned is awesome because it's the first and the last album of Zethro after the band done a reunion for for like how much, 10 years, because after that Rob Dukes take the torch from Zethro, and they release like three albums and also re-recorded Bounded by Blood with Let There Be Blood. And Let There Be Blood is also good one, but I think Bounded by Blood is a bear cover.
It's not very favorably receive, though. Let There Be Blood. As
yeah, because what
I actually like the cover more, because we didn't get to talk about how we feel about the. The thing is, you know, Bonded by Blood, it's a good album.
It's an amazing album.
But the album cover, though, well, is it really that good, or are you just... Because that's another thing as well, because this, I will say, you know, I'm not really a huge Exodus fan.
Yeah.
I like this album. But when I see this album, I'm like, holy shit, it is absolutely one of the ugliest fucking album covers I've ever seen.
To be honest, one of the ugliest that I know, and it's from my favorite band. I don't speak about the last three albums of Maiden. It's Exciter Unveiled the Wicked, I think was the name of the album.
Oh, Exciter, I gotta check it out.
And again, I misspell it. Exciter.
Is that a Bulgarian thing where you have to put an extra E?
No, I just messed the order of the book. The
thing is, I don't think they're...
Yep, Unveiling the Wicked from 86. It's an ugly one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it is pretty goofy.
Yeah,
I have never seen this one. The only album cover I've seen from Exciter is, you know,
Heavy Metal Maniac
and Violence of Force. I've seen.
One more, you know, because I have it on the T-shirt, and that's a Speed Trust Speedburn.
Oh, that's a way later one. Yeah.
Yeah, 2008.
But that's not a good cover either. It's just
no Exciter is it's also known with a very bad taste of the covers.
Yeah, but that's sort of... It seems like, you know, Exciter, I sort of put them in the same category as bands like, for instance, a favorite of this podcast, SDI.
Yeah.
And the thing is, SDI, their covers aren't that great either, but they're fun.
Yeah, man.
Mistreated
is one of the ugliest one by SDI, but when you
Mistreated, I mean, I'm not gonna Google this, but I mean, it's just a girl that looks.
Yeah, but on the backside, you have like basically like me, fat guy, sitting with the underwear with a beer in the hand and watching some porn, I guess, on TV, on these big TVs.
Well, I think I don't know. Seem to be trapped in sort of an idea that like a cover should inspire you to buy something. But
I mean, really ugly covers, but also inspiring, like Bound by Blood.
I must say, by the way, Sign of the Wicked by STI, that cover, it's kind of weird in a way. It's not a bad cover. I mean, it's like, it's like Reinhardt, like, you know, scratching up himself with a razor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fucked up, but then again, it's kind of cool as well.
But also for a modern band that is on the new wave of British heavy metal spirit, I can definitely say Witch Curse have amazing artwork. They're from Greece, and they're playing a new wave of British heavy metal sound, what was called New Wave of Traditional Heavy Metal.
From Greece as well.
They are from Greece. Witch Curse.
Such many cases. Greece, they seem to have like a fucking metal scene brewing.
No, man, they're huge down there. They have so much... cover, man. So we can do it just a podcast about covers.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have too much thought about this. It was just talking about covers. I mean, this could be a series in and of itself.
Yeah, if we start with a Maiden, there is so much. And I don't remember if it was Ruthless Metal or someone else that put I think it was Ruthless Metal that put all the Maiden. I mean, quote unquote, all Maiden 80s and whatever.
Oh, really?
Covers, and he was like, it's impossible to put all Maiden covers, but at least the most well-known. And
that's the thing. There are like alternate covers, and
yeah,
then they're like regional and and another thing with Maiden as well, they're like t-shirt designs that change like basically every fucking tour they've ever done, you know.
Yeah,
there's like a design of Eddie
not only you have official, unofficial cover, then single, everything, man, plus t-shirt, plus backdrops, plus alternative shit. And if you want to start Iron Maiden podcast, you can start just for covers.
Yeah, basically.
Because there's I don't know, I think it's unknown numbers of Maiden artwork there. And also back when I was how was his name
Derek Riggs,
yeah, that made the cover, he put so many hidden gems inside the covers.
Yeah, it's always a fun time. I think we probably touched upon this when we talked about, you know,
the Maiden episode.
And the thing is, I mean, if we would have stayed on like every cover, I mean, for instance, like Somewhere in Time, that is like references everywhere.
Oh man.
Every fucking where.
There is references everywhere, and that is references that we know and how much we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of shit. I mean, just check out the Wikipedia page for Somewhere in Time. And there's like, I mean, the Wikipedia page is like
the best huge. The best one is just go and buy vinyl copy of Somewhere in Time. Ah, actually, I'm gonna get my Somewhere in Time copy from Bulgaria.
Matter of fact, I actually have my Somewhere in Time copy in this apartment.
Yeah, you know what? I bought in Bulgaria back in the days. I mean, 2010, something like 11. I bought Iron Maiden, Somewhere in Time, Seven Son of the Seven Son. I don't remember which cover of No Prayer for Dying, and Power Slave. Do you know for what type of money? Let's say 200 crowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not a lot for those.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the condition as well.
It was good, man. It was
I guess it
VG
was
Plus. It was VG, because VG Plus. Not Mint, but VG Plus. And there,
that's the thing as well, because there are so many pressings, different pressings.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, they're first press, but I think one is from Serbia, one is from France. I don't remember that. I think there wasn't the UK press, but still. And yeah, I'm really glad. And for you guys, I say 200 crowns. That's basically like 20 bucks or 20 euro.
In around that. So yeah. Four great albums.
And nowadays you cannot afford one album to buy for this money.
Like a newly produced album. Yeah, no.
There is some, for example, Twisted Sister, man. Stay Hungry. What the cover?
Oh yeah, speaking about covers.
Because I bought Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry, and I don't remember which one for 75 crowns. That basically what 7 euro, something like this. And Stay Hungry, but again, man, in the '80s they have so twisted vision of the covers.
I mean. In a way, I sort of think that Iron Maiden was sort of like the
driving force.
No, the other way around. Because I think that most of the bands sort of like looked on them like nerds or something, that they were trying to do something with their covers, because other bands didn't really give a fuck. Because with Iron Maiden, there's like a concept with every album. You know, you see Eddie in a situation. They've always like developed it for every album with, you know.
Yeah, but
you know, with most other bands, they try to emulate the same fucking thing that Maiden did and failed and stopped, and you know, sort of hard to explain. But
like I said, Maiden. If you start with a Maiden cover, there is basically bottomless pit.
Yeah,
and also a good one is Steel Preacher.
Yeah, they have good covers. They match. They match the theme.
Yeah, especially Drinking with Adele.
Yeah, that one is cool. Oh yeah, I remember. And that's a funny one too. They do like the caricature art as well on that.
On themselves.
And, but that's the point. You know, they are not. I'm not being mean by saying that they're not a serious band, but they are a drinking band.
No, they are not serious band, man. I mean, come on, the band with Hell Band for Beer and Wish You Were Beer and DOA, a drink on arrival. We don't get drunk, we just get amazing. Awesome.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
they're totally tongue-in-cheek of fucking drinking metal.
But there's one band that is better on that.
Tankard?
In that regard, yeah.
Well, Tankard have a fucking ton of albums, and Steel Preacher have like, what, 5 albums, 6 albums, yeah. Something like this.
But Tankard are great in that regard that, you know, all of their album covers are funny as shit.
I think King of Beer, I don't like the artwork of King of Beers.
I must say that Chemical Invasion is one of my absolute favorite because there's like a mad scientist pouring a beer into a glass.
I'm thinking of Tankard, and do you know what I wrote? King of Beer.
King of Beer or Kings of Beer?
Kings of Beer, whatever. Yeah. But I mean...
I fucking love that album cover. That's great. I mean, this band has made so much fucking music. It's insane.
Stone Cold Sober. What you think about this cover?
Stone Cold Sober. It's yeah. I've seen that one. It's
the alien. Yeah. You know this torture that they dig a pit and you and yeah. Just stick your head up from the pit. And you see the beer nearby and the alien cannot reach it.
However, though, one of my absolute favorite album covers ever, it has to be The Morning After. Because that album fucking...
Dude.
I've been there.
Dude, listen now. I don't I'm not going to tell the name of the band till now. Till they release it, but... On Yeflin Metal, I spoke with their vocals, and I mentioned this band a lot of time in our episodes. And you know my profile picture?
Yeah.
He wanted this picture to be on the backside of the album, of the single cover.
Well...
Because basically that was the morning after.
I mean... Just a picture, not something like animated.
No, this one. They wanted this one because
they want your profile picture as a fucking back cover. For the single. Well, I don't know
because that was exactly a morning after, man. The previous night, I drank like a half liter of moonshine. I don't know how many beers, 2 or 3 screwdriver. Plus half a liter of tequila. So what you...
Well, that picture is...
The morning after.
I remember when you uploaded it on Facebook. I sort of, you know, my reptile brain sort of, you know, connected those two things together.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you know, this... The morning after, that album cover.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I feel fucked up drunk and I, you know... lie on someone else's couch or on the floor or and, you know wherever I wake up, you know.
Yeah, singing some bullshit in 2 a.m. when your host need to wake up like 6 a.m. almost to kill you.
Yeah, well, fuck you, man. You start snoring at 1 o'clock, so.
Well, snoring is one point, is one thing. Singing nonsense is another thing. And loudly.
Hey man. Whenever I sleep at your place, it's always like, okay, dude, let's go to sleep. And you start sounding like a fucking
minsel.
I didn't. You sound like, you know,
chainsaw.
a processing factory in Northern Canada that processes fucking limber. And I'm like, okay, I don't have. You know, I even start to wear headphones and shit. And like, okay, it doesn't even dry it out.
Yeah, even Matt's that New Year that we went together at Eleni, and he was like, hey, Eleni, can I even move here? Because Daru is snoring like a tractor.
I mean, it is pretty fucking uncanny, basically. You are snoring like a fucking machine.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but if it was Muscle Rock 2019, that was the year both you and I went
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was 19.
Yeah, that was 19. And I remember, this was a funny thing, because I went to bed fairly early for some reason. I don't know why, but
because you was drunk?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
I really don't know.
It's good that some of people didn't know us personally and they don't have our profiles. Otherwise, they're going to see so many videos of both of us drunk thanks to Kenny.
Yeah, well. Here's the thing, though. You always started snoring. And I remember this because my sleeping time were, like, fucked up. Because I always, like, went to sleep at, like, 12 o'clock and then wake up at 3. And I would wake up every second hour, basically.
Yeah, man. But wait a second.
And here was the thing.
Wait a second. What you expect from me? I'm going to snore. I'm not going to start singing a fucking opera.
No. But here was the thing. You would always start to snore at 6 o'clock in the morning. I counted this every day. We were there for, like, I don't know, 3 days maybe?
Yeah, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, for 4 days. And it was around 5 or 6. You know, you would be, I mean, I don't know when you went to bed. Maybe you went to bed at 4 or 3.
I don't know.
But it was always around 6 o'clock. And then you would be going on, and it, like I said, it sounded like you were being in, like, British Columbia, like fucking severing wood or shit.
Yeah,
you're fucking insane.
Yeah, actually, we went there for four nights, and on the fifth day we went back.
Yeah, the thing is with festivals, it feels like you're no, there for like a week.
Yes and no. I mean, 1 day is a few, like, 3 days, but at the end, like, 1 day.
Yeah, basically.
It's crazy.
But it was fucking fun, and I really loved, especially, it was one of the earlier days when you started snoring early in the morning. It was this...
Yeah, man, covers, it's a funny one. Do you know what I think for probably... I don't know, in the near future, probably next episode or whatever.
Yeah, more cover talks, I guess.
Yes and no.
Okay, well, I'm up.
Funny songs.
Funny songs.
Yeah, title, like we start today podcast with songs like Kerry Burger King and whatever.
Yeah, that could be fun. Yeah, I'm game on that.
And we go and see how we go derail from there. Probably we can put as well some funny videos as well. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm game for that. It's funny.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do too much preparation either, because you know what's funny.
Your preparation. So. The only preparation I put in my radio show, you know, I don't have a prep.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way it should be, but I don't know. That's the thing. I'm not a true metalhead, honestly.
Nah.
That's the thing. I have to study everything I do. And, I don't know. That's the way I am.
And I think we do a decent job again. We keep it a little bit short.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're the one on the editing side, so.
No, I'm going to just cut the... No, I'm just going to leave it like this and go and send it to you.
Oh, okay. So I'm the editor still. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll,
fuck you.
I can do that. Fuck you! No, that's no problem. I can edit it.
At least we solved the problem with the two tracks. But yeah. I think it's time to wrap this episode. I'm a little bit tired because I also need to finish my episode for next Sunday. This Sunday, actually. No. since you are listening to this episode, I need to make a prep for my radio show that's supposed to came out yesterday or the day before yesterday. That's Sunday 7th of August. Man, we are August.
Yes, we are in August.
Shit. You know, you need to think about 25th of December.
Nah, I would say to all of those who listen to us, give us feedback on our Facebook because I really need it. And check out our Patreon and donate some money so that we could buy even better beer, equipment. So
yeah, better yeah. Beer.
Yeah, equipment or whatever. That is basically all I have. And
till then, check Roxophone with Simon that we done the previous episode. It's a nice. He have a nice podcast. If you understand Swiss, because it's only in Swiss for now. Also check Kofras Mangyo. It's going to have some really special gigs and around February. If you are in Stockholm, it's probably gonna be one in a lifetime gig. I'm not gonna spoil. And till then, just listen more metal on a vinyl, preferably, or a physical copy if you can afford it. Because yeah, I'm also pirate. I don't like to say it, but I am. But also, I'm supporting the bands buying their merch. So buy their merch, support them, listen to physical copy, enjoy the covers. You can also shoot which is your favorite cover. That's a good one. And till then, check us on social media like Facebook on www.facebook.com/mailbrainfart, mailbrainfart podcast. It's going to pop up anyway. There you have Trinkly for some website that nobody cares of, and our Patreon. So like Bruce say, we can buy new equipment, more vinyls, so we can enjoy more covers, drinking beer and looking like the morning after of Tankard. And till next time, stay tuned or be doomed.